What's up, guys? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday, March 15th, 2018. I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the Reverend Jared Petty.
Doki doki, good to see you, Tim.
I always feel like I want to clap for you. Usually clap for the guests, but it's like you're just one of us now. So it's like, I still want to clap for you, but it feels weird.
I love this normalized being here thing. Like, there's nothing better than the routine of being a part of everything going on here. I was sitting in the next room while the insanity that was happening during the morning show.
Yeah, Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames.
Just rampant stupidity all around, and it's a great feeling. Mm-hmm. I look forward to coming to work here every day. It's a lot of fun.
Today was a very special episode of the morning show. You should check it out later on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Special in all the worst ways.
All of the worst ways. Really, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We come to you live with all of the video game news that you need to know about. You can get the show later if that is up, if that's the type of thing that you'd want to do, on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can get it on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify. So that's a great thing. We crossed 230,000 subscribers on youtube.com/kindoffunny. So thank you all for that. You know, of course, we did that a couple weeks ago on this beautiful channel. So thank you guys for making this community the best community on the internet, for being super cool, super dope human beings. Jared?
Yeah.
How are you overall? You feeling good?
How am I feeling?
You've been on
great.
The show a couple weeks now.
I feel
now.
Energetic.
Good.
And not like, not just like ganky, like I want to be energetic. It's just, it really is kind of great coming into work, being surrounded by the energy of the people here. Laughing. So much of what you do here at Kind of Funny is about laughing.
It's about
and I'm constantly surrounded by laughter. I feel good about the project. Hot Blip 2 comes out tomorrow.
Awesome.
For everybody.
Very
really excited about
publicly.
That.
Publicly. So for everyone.
Yeah, for everyone. It's already available for our early access patrons. But that's happening right now. You and I were talking about some neat new ideas
there in the back.
A few things I want to try.
So yeah, for housekeeping then, so go to patreon.com/JaredPetty to get episode 2 of Hop, Lip, and Jump right now, or go subscribe on youtube.com/...
Oh, let's just go to... I think it's still the Pockets Full of Soup thing. I've got to change it.
To get it tomorrow.
How about just type in Hop, Lip, and Jump in YouTube.
Hop, Lip, and Jump, and
that's
everybody...
I was so poorly prepared there.
Hey, man, that's okay. I throw things at you. And
I think it's Pockets Full of Soup Pockets Full of Soup.
You got to fix that. The next bit of housekeeping. One of my good friends, Marcus D, he's a producer, a hip-hop producer up from Seattle. He put out a new album called Retro 2. This is the collector's edition. So I want to say this episode is brought to you by Marcus D's Retro 2. You can go to marcusd.net to check it out. It links to his Bandcamp page with all the stuff. You can check out all the different songs on it and buy it if you'd like to. If you're a fan of... like Japanese style instrumental hip hop music, New Jobis, if you've ever heard of them, him, amazing, amazing producer, RIP, inspired Marcus D very much for all of his work. And this is a remix of a bunch of classic video game songs. So everything from Super Mario World to various Final Fantasies, all the way up to like Final Fantasy 13. It's not just retro stuff.
Why have I not bought this
and
already?
I think you're going to like it a lot. You can actually have this one.
What?
If you would like to.
You're giving them away?
It seems right up your alley.
But what about yours? What about your copy?
I got one.
Oh, this is lovely.
He says, this project is dedicated to the humble geniuses who created the soundtracks to our favorite video games and in turn our childhoods. The ones who inspired this project who might forever be underappreciated and underrecognized for their contributions to the world. So go check it out. It is legitimately cool. He's a great guy and makes a lot of cool music. And it's the perfect type of music if you're writing a paper and just need something on in the background. Turn that on. You're going to have a good time. MarcusD.net.
Is it synth or chiptune or do you know?
It's hip hop sampling. So it's sampling the actual music.
Okay.
Very cool stuff.
I absolutely love this. I love synth and chip and sample. So this is all going to be great.
And this collector's edition is super awesome. You can get it too, but styled obviously after, there you go. Super Nintendo box. Very cool.
I really do like this. This is groovy. Thank you. That was a kind gift.
Oh, yeah. No, you're going to like it a lot.
It just cost him a few bucks, though. I was going to buy one of these.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Now let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah. Did you like that, Kevin?
I did.
Okay. We got four stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Let's start off with a little hip-hop segue here. Over 600,000 people tuned in to watch Drake and Ninja play Fortnite. They smashed Twitch records for a single stream. This comes from Kotaku. We mentioned last week that Fortnite streamer Ninja has gotten so big that rapper Drake was following him on Instagram. Tonight, they hooked up for a game and it crushed the record for most concurrent viewers on a single stream for the service. After some initial communications issues, and some adorable fan freakout moments from Ninja's wife, viewers were able to tune in to see Ninja playing while Drake was on voice comms via Discord. The pair was separated by platforms, with Ninja on PC and Drake on PS4. As the games wore on, the viewer count exploded, growing from around 200k when they first got voice chat working to just under 400k 30 minutes later, at which point Drake tweeted a link to his 36.7 million followers, and it really blew up. There wasn't just shooting. At one point, Ninja asked how long Drake had been playing, who replied that it's only been a month or two, and he's pretty good, and one that can often spend and that he can often spend so long in the studio, 15 to 20 hours at a time, that there's plenty of downtime for playing games like this. At the time this is posting, the stream is now at 607,000 views, breaking the 607,000 views. Damn. Breaking the record Dr. Disrespect made when he returned last month to 388,000. And an update just to make things a little more weird, exiled internet guru and mega upload founder Kim.com has jumped on the stream as well. And then it got even more weird when rapper Travis Scott, who's Kylie Jenner's baby daddy, also joined in, as did the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. This caught the internet ablaze.
I feel like Twitter only Weird Al could have added more to this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if Weird Al had popped into the stream, that would have been the coda, like the final capstone the whole thing needed.
Did you tune in for this at all?
No, I followed this through Twitch. Mm. I don't watch a lot of streaming. And
you mean through Twitter?
What? You mean like through Twitter?
No, last night when you were following
Did I say follow through Twitch?
Yeah.
I meant follow through Twitter.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I followed through Twitter last night. I followed the conversation. I don't watch a lot of streaming. Mm-hmm. I don't inherently dislike streaming. I think there's a lot of streaming I really enjoy. I've even occasionally done it myself. But it's not my universe most of the time. And so I was really more interested in the narrative and the way people were reacting to it than what was actually happening. It's kind of like going to a Super Bowl party when you don't care about the game, but you want to see other people excited about it and have them explain what's happening to you. It's very similar to that. And that was what I was doing last night. And I was having a lot of fun just enjoying you. You and I, we like the hype.
Yeah,
you are the lord of hype. You're the captain of hype.
The master of hype, the meister.
I'm definitely just an apprentice hypester, but I really do enjoy hype. I like being happy about things. Imagine that. And so seeing people's glee at watching this happen, that really kind of got inside me, because when it comes down to it, I like pretty basic entertainment, and I am a sucker for, you know, if Jimmy Fallon has some celebrity pop on and do something really, really cute, or if a late night host has some funny little trick happen, or if I get a cute little sketch where suddenly a couple of likable famous people are doing something together and it's fun and a little off key, I love that stuff. Mm-hmm. I am a sucker for it. I will watch it all day. Bring me your viral memes. So the idea that this just kind of came together and all these folks dropped in, and there's this suddenly kind of Avengers of you know, pretty well-known celebrities, yeah, and they're playing Fortnite together. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
I would have been just as interested if this had been a 5-on-5 pickup game that somebody was recording on their phone, mm-hmm, or streaming live, you know, at somewhere, or if this had been, but the fact that it was Twitch was cool, because the world of video games has plenty of moments like this, but this one felt less manufactured. I have no idea what the background on all, mm-hmm, this was, but my understanding was this at least felt pretty organic.
Yeah.
And that adds a good. What about you?
As it was all going on, I popped in just to see it, and it was me and Gia kind of watching it. She got bored really fast because while we were watching, there was a long moment of technical difficulty, and I was just like, oh, where's Kevin? They need him so bad right now. And it was funny seeing Ninja, a pro streamer, just trying to make this all work, and he's just like, oh man, there's so many issues with, like, just with PSN and connecting everything, getting all the voice stuff to work. But when they were actually playing, it was just such a novel thing. To see them kind of like go back and forth, and like hearing the different ways that the people would speak about the game. It's like when they need to be revived, it's like, yo, give me band-aids. And it's like, it's just so funny, because it's like, oh, these are people too. They have their stupid parlances that with their friends, just like everyone else.
Of course.
Jamie writes in and says, hey, Tim and Jared, can you guys explain to me what the big deal about Drake playing Fortnite with Ninja was? I'm having trouble just understanding why the gaming community was so enthusiastic about it. It's just a celebrity playing games. So many celebrities are open about their love for gaming. I just don't get why Drake is being praised for enjoying it. Anyone remember Terry Crews reaching out for help building a gaming computer? What about Cisco playing Monster Hunter with Greg and Kevin last week? Austin Creed and Kenny Omega going through their Game of the Year picks on GameSpot? We've seen celebs in so many different shows on YouTube and Twitch. I just don't get why Drake was such a draw. Is it the unexpectedness of him being in a gaming that drove people to Ninja's stream? Is Fortnite being as big as it is at the moment drawing in unexpected fans and making itself so culturally relevant that celebs can't hide their enjoyment of the game any longer? I'm a fan of both Drake and Fortnite, but I just don't understand why this is such a big deal. It's just a celebrity being a video game fan on Twitch.
I think a perfect storm. I think you've got Ninja, who's very good at what he does. Then you've got Fortnite, which is at the apex of its popularity right now. Then you've got Drake, who people had not typically, at least widespread, associated with video gaming. Then you had the unexpected nature of this. Then you had what may have been some pretty good planning that went into it. Who knows?
But the thing is, you brought up a good point that I do think it's the spontaneity of it, where it didn't feel manufactured.
Exactly.
It felt organic and it felt real. And I think that that is something that the gaming community can latch onto, because, you know, we can all smell fakes from a mile away.
Yeah.
Like, when there's some fraudulent bullshit going on, we'll call it. And it's just like, there's something wrong here. This feels off. That did not feel off last night. It felt like a moment. And you're right, Jamie. Like, there is nothing that makes this particularly special. It is just someone else playing games. But I think the key is, and this is something that we, you know, we are very lucky that we have here at Kind of Funny, and with, you know, internet influencers, whatever you want to call them, Twitch streamers, all this stuff. It's like, we get to share our lives with people and have this, like, kind of back and forth on the day-to-day, talking to the chat, talking to people on Twitter and all this. These celebrities, it reaches a certain point where it's like, there is no back and forth. It's a one-way street. They do things, and you know a bit about their life through their music. Maybe you watch an interview here or there. But, oh, this person plays video games? It is just like the Jimmy Fallon stuff that you're talking about. That Bo Burnham, one of my favorite stand-up comedians and just amazing dude, wrote an article one time talking about the fetishism of celebrity.
Yeah.
And how bizarre it is that we've all done karaoke at some point in our life.
Sure.
But watching Emma Stone do karaoke gets 10 million views.
Well, you used to work at IGN, and you'd have these weird moments. You know, you're just walking through the kitchen, and they're like, oh, why is Brad Bird in the refrigerator? Mm-hmm. You know, and Brad Bird is in the refrigerator getting milk for his coffee, and Damon Lindelof standing there and just like, oh, well, you're in the kitchen right now. And then you walk on, and that would happen because people would be in for interviews. But when you meet celebrities, generally speaking, and I've had opportunities to meet a few, with a couple of exceptions, they're just people going through their day. They're doing their jobs. And when they're done with that, they're going to go home and be with the people they love and do the things they enjoy, whether it be curling up with a good book or whether it be playing a video game. And I love that. There's something about that demystification, the glimpse through the clouds of Olympus into the heavens where these rich celestial insulated beings dwell. It goes all the way back to, you know, if you read like 30s Hollywood magazines, when it was like, and it's the mystical land of Hollywood where the larger than life stars are dwelling, but by the pool Marilyn Monroe is, you know, that kind of thing. There's an element of that to it still. And they're the closest thing we have to Greek gods left in the modern world, these larger-than-life humans. And so when one of them comes down and has an experience with us and we see the common humanity, we kind of get jarred by it. And in this case, it was very pleasant, jarring, watching them fight with Discord. You know, we have all struggled.
We've all had that
struggle. With the joy of online communication, although Discord actually, I think, better than a lot of things out there. I'm pretty big fan of Discord.
Yeah.
It's nice to see people come to our level in a way that's not denigrating. I don't like watching people drag through the mud. Like, aha, you're human. See, you're suffering now. A lot of people get off on that. I think that's why the Judge Judy show exists, is watching other people, you know, get their comeuppance or something. I don't like that end of entertainment, but I love it when we can celebrate the happiness.
Conan O'Brien, the Clueless Gamer stuff that he does, I feel like that's another side of this. And, you know, it is kind of bizarre because it's like, you know, we can put up Let's Plays of the same game and make the same quality of shitty jokes. And like we have 20,000 people watching it. They have millions of people watching it just because it's a celebrity and it's people kind of just making jokes about things that they either do understand or don't understand. That's kind of the point. Look at BuzzFeed. Look at Kids React on the Fine Bros channels. There is just a fascination that people have with seeing people try things or do things that either you know well and want to see other people experience for the first time, or something that you don't expect someone else to be doing and just see them doing it. It's very weird and it is bizarre, but it's like undeniably a thing of human nature.
Yeah.
Like, the views don't lie when it comes to this.
Yeah, there are certain things that most of us do. You know, we all eat, we all drink, we all go to the bathroom. These are things that take place. We all sleep.
Sooner or later, we'll all play video games. I think this is just a sign towards that.
We almost all carry phones. At least in this culture, a lot of us carry phones, and most of us that have phones are playing games on them, and those that don't are playing their friends or playing on their computers at home or at school or wherever they can get them. I think most people play video games in some form or another now here in the States and throughout much of the world.
Video games are cool, man. Speaking of video games being cool, the next story is a Tim Gettys Get Hype rumor moment brought to you by Gatorade. The word on the street, Jared, is that at 1 p.m. Pacific today,
today.
So as of recording right now, 32 minutes from now.
Oh, man. Is it going to happen
Tim Gettys' dreams are going to come true. Hashtag unleash the fucking dragon. Spyro, the treasure trilogy. We'll see. We'll see. Live on this show later. We'll have the breaking news if it actually happens. But a lot of reliable people that I trust have DM'd me, reached out to me. And none of them have actually said anything specific. But I'm getting a lot of winky face emojis and a lot of people that seem to know that something up my alley is about to go down.
A Spyro remake makes such sense. It's perfect. It's the kind of IP that's going to have appeal. If you've never heard of Spyro, it's a little fluttering purple dragon. Of course you want to play with that. And if you love Spyro, of course you want it back. Because the Spyro game...
Skylanders fucking beat him down. They took that flaming baseball bat and they just hit him in his pretty little face until it wasn't pretty anymore. And we need him back,
you know,
Jared.
As far as 3D mascot platformers went, I like Spyro. So I'm really happy to see Spyro come back. I think he's a fun character.
I like Spyro as well. And obviously I'm a big fan of these type of announcements and these type of games. I am most looking forward to the graphic style of the game. I hope that they don't ruin it. I hope it doesn't have that kind of generic Unreal 4 look that a lot of the games have.
I think it's probably going to have a fairly generic Unreal 4 look. I mean, Spyro kind of created the generic Unreal 4.
No, but there's a whimsicalness.
There is.
That I hope doesn't just get washed over with like this generic plastic sheen.
No, I don't think it'll have that Pixar Knack look. That off Pixar. Like everything in Knack looks like something that Pixar would have rejected. Mm-hmm. Like that they did in a test thing and are like, no, we don't want that. I don't think it's gonna have that off puttingness. Spyro's too cute. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's
best things. Keep him cute. Keep him this cool, kind of awkward. Well, I'm excited. 1 p.m. We'll figure it out.
Edgy reboot.
No.
Spyro.
Did you see Spyro and Skylanders?
Spyro X.
Yeah. Next news story. This comes from GameSpot. Geralt
of Rivia.
Geralt of Rivia is coming to Soul Calibur 6. Geralt of Rivia will be a playable character in Soul Calibur 6. Bandai Namco and CD Projekt Red have announced, in addition, a stage based on the Witcher series,
Kaer Morhen,
will be available as one of the game's arenas. The Witcher himself will, according to a statement, keep his signature fighting style in his transition from open-world RPG to fighting game. He'll be able to utilize a combination of swordplay, ability-enhancing potions, and combat magic, in addition to having the character, his English voice actor, and his signature stage based on the Witcher's training ground. There'll also be the iconic music track from the series, Hunt or Be Hunted. It's confirmed via the gameplay trailer.
Yep.
Geralt will be voiced by the original voice actor Doug Cockle and brings with him a
Kaer Morhen
stage to fight across. The soundtrack for the stage, well, we are again, that's repeating information there. So we talked about this rumor. This was a rumor for the last couple weeks. We've covered it a couple times, but now it's official. You are the Soul Calibur
guy in
the office.
So I was probably going to buy Soul Calibur 6 anyway, but now I'm definitely buying it. I want to play with Geralt of Rivia. That's going to happen. Geralt's a neat character. Witcher 2 still features one of my all-time favorite endings for a video game. One of the best boss encounters in the history of the medium. Love it. Witcher 3, an incredible open world game. It really changed our perception, I think, of how you could combine natural look and color in video games. I think its artistic direction is still extraordinarily important and shifted the way that we looked at the way open world should be created. It really did take us out of the brown and into the color. And it's like, no, you could be outside and it could still be bright, but not look cartoony. I love that about Witcher 3. Those games are rich and vast. And if you've never touched them, 2 and 3 are both worth your time, even though they're very different games. You can go back to 2. It's more linear, but it does some really brave things. Like the first time you play the game, you may not see half of it. It's really cool. I love that game. It's so experimental and interesting. But Geralt's a neat character. It's interesting to see him in a sword fighting situation. Geralt's never like gung ho to kill people. That's not his job. He's more like a monster hunter type dude, but he's constantly getting pulled into situations where he has to fight people. And so seeing him fight in this tournament will be cool. But he carries two swords, one for use against monsters. It's made of silver, and one that's for use against people. It's made of steel. He has magic abilities. He fits the fighting game thing. He fits the Soul Calibur motif.
Weapon-based.
Yeah, weapon-based combat. And Soul Calibur is, it's very, very silly and very, very fun at its best. And Geralt will fit right in. We've talked about this before. I love guest characters. What are your thoughts on this? You want to play with Geralt? Have you played Witcher?
No, have not played Witcher. Attested by me never remembering how to pronounce his name. I love this though. This is the type of news that I love. I love seeing crossovers. I love seeing crossovers that make sense. This to me does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Forte writes in, says Geralt has been announced for Soul Calibur 6, and I'm excited. Assuming the artwork I've seen is official of Mitsurugi and Geralt together in past games 2, 4, 5 and Broken Destiny, showcasing guest characters on the covers of those games. What are your thoughts on these characters sharing the spotlight with the main roster? Do you think they fit in better than DLC guests announced after release?
My thoughts on this are I have guest characters can't. Okay, first off, I love fighting games. I am not a fighting game guy. I'm bad at them. I'm not part of the fighting game community of people out there that are really good at them and take them hardcore and go to tournaments. And there's a real wonderful subculture out mm-hmm. there that I'm not really invested in. But I do love the medium. Guest characters are kind of divisive within the fighting game community. Some love, some hate. I love them because I think all fighting game stories almost universally are stupid. And I'm okay with that because it's an excuse for two people to beat each other up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think great storytelling is often to be found in fighting games. Single player modes can be great. You know, MKX has a very interesting single player Injustice mode, for example, Injustice 2. And I think it's possible to make fighting games with great stories, but it's not very common. So if you want to drop somebody in because it's fun to play with them, of course, I'm all about that. I'm kind of the camp that says Smash Brothers is more a platformer than a fighting game. But I love the fact that it's all about having my favorite characters fight each other in a really cool environment. I wanted to like PlayStation All-Stars. I didn't. And I was shocked I didn't.
So bad.
Huh?
I wanted to love that game.
Same
I should
for you?
Have loved that game. Yeah. Smash Brothers, my favorite franchise.
Yeah.
Like pretty much undeniably. And when I just want more. And it's kind of weird to me that up until recently, we didn't really see many clones or attempts at the Smash Bros. Formula. I remember... Yeah. You know, Smash Bros. Obviously came out on N64, moved over to Melee on the GameCube. And that generation, we did get a couple. There was the Onimusha, mm-hmm. I forgot what it was called.
I know what you're talking about.
There was an Onimusha fighting game that was styled similarly, but it never really quite reached near the highs of Smash. And then during the Wii generation with Brawl, there was a Ninja Turtle game that came out.
And there's the Persona fighting games.
Are they similar to Smash?
Well, they're two different fighting games, both with just stocked with Persona characters.
Mm.
It's kind of like Dancing All Night, except
I'm talking
Persona
more
characters.
About the style of gameplay, the more platformer fighter.
It's not platform fighter. Yeah. No, those are more fighting game fighters.
But there was an Ninja Turtle one that was all right on the Wii, but it still wasn't perfect. And then when Sony announced PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're finally getting this. There was the question of, does Sony have enough characters to really kind of fill this roster? Turns out at that point the answer was no, but especially when you look at licensing issues that they've since figured out.
Yeah, my problem with the game is never the roster, it was the mechanics.
And so my problem was the roster, and it was, oh, it's a Smash Bros. Clone that isn't actually a Smash Bros. Clone.
Yeah.
It looks like it, but it's not. And changing the mechanics of having the finishers be the way to win and get points, it made the game when it could have been awesome.
It could have been. And I think people, one of the reasons people have stayed away for this and the other is that some of the attempts to go in have been missteps. Fighting games are, platform fighting games or fighting games, whatever, both are hard to make well.
Mm-hmm.
They just are. There used to be a lot of crappy fighting games. Now there are very few of them because the market's narrowed because it is hard to make a good fighter. Remember Star Wars Masters of Teras Kasi?
Never forget.
Ugh. I mean, that's a really bad video game. And there used to be a lot of bad fighters. It's hard to make them. But I do think there's room for kind of that kart racer proliferation for mm-hmm. people to take another stab at this. It's just a lot of
effort. I feel like it's happened a lot more recently in the indie scene. We've seen Brawl Out. We've seen Brawlhalla.
Mm-hmm. Brawlhalla, that's
a
great name.
And a bunch of other variations Samurai of
Gun,
Brawl.
Samurai Gun is amazing.
Hmm.
Played Samurai Gun?
Oh, is that the Game Boy looking one?
It looks, I don't know, it's simple graphics, but I wouldn't call it Game Boy. It's actually got like color.
Okay, no, not the one I'm thinking
of. No, Samurai Gun's a four-player brawler fighter, platform fighter, and it is that. There's our party mode game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, that game's great. So it's really
is
simple.
Is it like Towerfall?
It's kind of like Towerfall. Actually, I think it predates Towerfall a little bit. I don't know. Maybe Towerfall's first. I forget. I backed the Ouya. I don't remember anymore. Anyway, it's available on PS4. I'm almost positive. I play it on Steam. But four little samurai guys, one hit kills. You have three bullets and a sword.
Hmm.
And the ability to leap all over the place. And it seems really simple, and it is really simple, except it's just packed with that great fighting game nuance.
Yeah.
Where it alternates between four-player melee chaotic and fantastically, like, drawn out, prolonged, awesome one-on-one duels. And it's constantly switching between those.
Hmm.
So it feels kind of like part Towerfall and part Nidhogg. It's fun.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's a really good game.
Classic party mode games. Next news story. This one's a really, really, really sad one. This comes via IGN. Toys R Us reportedly tells employees it will close all stores. Toys R Us is poised to shut down its U.S. operations as it struggles to find a buyer after going bankrupt at the end of last year. Bloomberg reports that having failed to restructure its gargantuan debt of $400 million, which was due this year, or find a buyer, Toys R Us is prepping to liquidate its U.S. operations. There was an update saying that its U.K. operations as well. Toys R Us reportedly informed its employees the company will shutter all remaining 700 stores in the U.S. or attempt to sell them wherever possible. Wall Street Journal reports Toys R Us chief executive David Brandon informed employees at the company's headquarters ahead of plans to file liquidation papers today, March 14th, which was yesterday after you guys had recorded Games Daily. This closure would reportedly affect up to 33,000 American jobs. At the start of the year, they announced their plans to close down 182 stores by the end of April, but things went from bad to worse in February with news of the closure of another 200 stores and over 9,000 layoffs. So obviously, you know, our hearts go out to all the people landing on their feet.
33,000 people out of work. That 33,000, think about the families that's affecting. That's probably more than 100,000 people directly affected. The effect that that'll reverberate out into local economies. I mean, that is a devastating economic blow. And so right there, that's sad. Then the fact that, I mean, I understand the narrative of big box retailers versus what's happening with online purchasing. And that's a very complex issue. I don't know how far down that rabbit hole we want to go. I've gotten to the point that I buy less and less on Amazon if I can, because I realize what it's doing to my community. Forget if I can. I just need to double down and be better about it. But I have,
it's hard.
So I say that, but then I have to buy equipment for my studio, and then instead of going out to a local place. So maybe I'm being a hypocrite right here. It is hard, but sometimes good things are hard to do. That's why I try to play games in stores still whenever I can. I'll generally go to a local gaming store and before I go online to see if they have what I want. And it's rough, but also with this story, I'm not an economic expert. My understanding is that a lot of this has to do with the fact that the company was acquired and had a lot of debt heaped on it immediately by the people who acquired it. I don't want to say more or less than that because I'm not an expert, but my understanding is whatever the case, it did certainly acquire a great deal more debt immediately after being bought out. Yeah. And then there's the pure baked in nostalgia element. I'm talking a lot here, but if I may, I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. There's a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with, from bikes to trains to video games. It's the greatest toy store there is.
Backwards on, man.
Yeah. And the video games, I think that's why we're talking about this here, right? Because that was part of the song.
Yeah. And the video games, we can talk forever about the nostalgia of going down and getting the slips for the video games, looking at all the box art, reading the back of the box on the little flap and then taking it up and waiting for them to come. It was part of the ceremony of getting a video game. If you grew up in the late 80s through the 90s, even in the early 2000s, I remember the last game I got there was the Halo 2 map pack that was released on physically.
No kidding.
And I was 17 and my mom had to come with me because it was rated M and they were being real hard asses there.
Pretty sure the last video game I bought at Toys R Us was only like 2 years ago. And I've shopped at Toys R Us fairly recently. Like we have one not far from where I live. So what's that?
Yeah, me and Kev frequent that one every once in a while when we're just looking for some fun and nostalgia. But
I like shopping. I like browsing. I like walking through stores. Yeah. Mm. And again, I don't want to bring down the Amazon rage from people. I understand the convenience factor. I understand the economics factors, you know, where nobody has any money right now. And Amazon's the cheapest way to buy things because they've monopolized the market. Therefore, we buy things from Amazon.
And it's not just cheap. It's easy and it's fun.
Yeah.
And it's everything about it. It's like, you know, I'm on the other side of this where it's like as nostalgic as I am for a lot of this stuff, like change is good sometimes. And I think that Amazon is an example of that. And it does suck that it's, you know, taking jobs away from people. And it does suck that people aren't going to have that same experience of going to the store and having that community. But I think the community's just shifted. The community's just moved. I feel like kids growing up these days buying their video games digitally, it's not like they are at a loss for places to go to talk about video games.
Oh, yeah. There I'm with you. I don't want to be like, oh, I'm mourning this giant big butt, which was another part of a giant corporation, the giant corporation things. I think more what I'm thinking about it is, without being libelous or anything, is that plenty of reports have emerged from Amazon, both at the warehouse level and at the administrative level, that it can be, in many times, a pretty nasty place to work for.
Oh, I'm sure.
And you look at what's going on right now as cities are literally bending over backwards, trying to get the headquarters brought in and moved into there, and what people, the slavishness people are willing to go to have that. Yes, it is convenient. And again, I'm a hypocrite here to a point, but I do still do a lot of store shopping deliberately because of this. I do think we might be doing more economic damage in this case than we're gaining. I understand that every time a new generation of technology comes along, it creates new jobs, new opportunities, new ways to make money. What some people don't seem to realize about that historically is that, yes, that's always true. It always creates new jobs, but it doesn't always fill in the gap. Sometimes the new jobs create economic explosions and booms and more opportunities than people need. Sometimes the emergent technology narrows those markets and you have a population versus labor demand surplus. And when that happens, you create situations where workers make less money and where there aren't proper opportunities for people. And suddenly people's lives fall apart in scale. That does occur sometimes. I'm worried that what we're seeing right now with Amazon's monopolism is pretty tethered to that. And it frightens me. And this is just one. But again, this isn't just about Amazon. I want to be careful. This isn't the beat up on Amazon.
Absolutely. It's not any.
Toys R Us has its own
business. Every corporation has some issues, many issues, and a lot of the same problems.
Yeah, and Toys R Us, again, their problems are much more complex. There is not, guess what? There's not one thing that led to this, you know? If I'd have
I think it was their surplus of Disney Infinity figures, but maybe that's just me.
I was at Disneyland a couple of years ago at one of the Tomorrowland stores, and they had the Disney Infinity corner. And you never see anything marked down at Disneyland, but all the Disney Infinity toys were in one corner, just like segregated off from the rest of the store, divided by a wide space on one shelf. Mm-hmm. And they were just obviously trying to liquidate them and yet also hope no one noticed they were there.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah. It's you know, it's weird growing up and seeing all the trends and shifts in the various industries we're a part of. And you know, my brother was just telling me, he read an article that Best Buy, as of April, is not going to sell CDs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you won't be able to buy physical music at a Best Buy. It's like, if you can't buy it there, where are you going to go?
Yeah. Amazon.
And exactly. Yeah, totally. And it's, so that's interesting. And then the other side of it, though, is like Toys R Us. Like, me and Kevin would, we frequent Best Buy a lot, but every once in a while we'll go to the Toys R Us just to kind of see what's going on. And over the years, seeing the video game aisles shift from being two giant aisles that are just so many video games after video games after video games to kind of turning into more just kiosk based, like, oh, here's your little Nintendo section, here's your Xbox section, here's your PlayStation section, more reminiscent of what a Target offering would be.
It feel like, yeah.
To then turn into this Toys to Life boom where it really felt like Toys R Us kind of owned the market on that because there's so many toys, like Amiibo being so collector focused. There's so many communities of adults on various websites like, oh man, the new Star Wars toys are out, the new Legos are out, like let's rush to Toys R Us and get those exclusives. And seeing just aisle after aisle after aisle of Amiibo, Disney Infinity, and Skylanders was insane. And then slowly seeing them kind of get a little bit more empty and just like super liquidate sales, and then just millions of Tom Nook Amiibo, and it's like nobody fucking wants this.
That's nothing more frightening, I can imagine, than just being in a room full of nothing but Tom Nook Amiibo staring at you.
It's just like a bunch of empty, like you can tell there was stuff there, and then just hell of Tom Nook.
Just like that piano, nothing but the piano, like ding, from the Eyes Wide Shut, like trailer playing ding. Thing, and you're surrounded by Tom Nook looking at you. And there are a lot of advantages to this. You know, independent developers have direct access to their fans now. You downloading created new markets. Again, I'm being I think I'm coming down too high on the side of negativity. I think rather that my frustration here is that even if we're going to move everything to digital or delivery distribution, I'm very worried about the fact that we've adopted a monopolistic model for that. There should be competitors to Amazon, real competitors. And because of the scale that Amazon operates at, there aren't. That's a problem. That's a problem in any free market. Always has been, and I'm afraid most of the time it will be. Monopolistic practice does not benefit anyone in the long term and only benefits those at the top in the short term.
Speaking of the long term, Jared.
Yeah.
Where can we find out what games are going to be coming out eventually and what games are coming out today?
Well, I would direct you perhaps to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Care.
Thanks for that.
Love that.
Oh my God, I slipped on my own chair.
Are you all right?
Out today? Alchemist's Castle on the PlayStation 4. That one sounds like a doozy. Bingo for Nintendo Switch. Get ready, everybody. Enchanting Mahjong Match.
There we go. You know what? I like Mahjong. Mahjong's fun.
Jared Petty, your next assignment. On the Gamescast last week, you reviewed Space Cats with Lasers.
Well, reviewed is a... I played Space Cats with Lasers for like an hour and talked about it.
Space Cats reviews. This week, your assignment is Enchanting Mahjong Match.
Am I getting comp for all these? I'm curious.
No, not at all.
Enchanting Mahjong Match. There we are.
Next up, Gal Gunvolt Burst on PlayStation 4. Gem Smashers on Switch.
Okay.
Maria the Witch on PlayStation 4. Okay. One of Cool Greg's games of the year last year. From the Nintendo Switch, now coming to PS4.
Was that one of Cool Greg's games of the year?
Maria the Witch, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And by that, it was one of the games he played last year.
Oh, okay.
He did very much enjoy it. Neon Wall on Switch. Sparkle 3 Genesis on Switch. Surviving Mars. That actually looks pretty cool. On PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. The Long Reach on Switch. World's Neverland. Alnia Kingdom on Switch.
Okay.
And Zeus Quest Remastered.
Zeus Quest Remastered. There we go.
Are you familiar with Zeus Quest Unremastered?
No, I have not played Zeus Quest Unremastered. Should I have?
I have no idea.
I figured that was just a God of War spinoff I'd never played.
Yeah, no. I missed that one.
So my assignment for next week is Enchanting Mahjong Match.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a code for that?
Probably not.
Okay.
If anything, you can just look at YouTube videos and review that.
No, if I'm going to comment on it, I probably... Well... I don't know. It's Mahjong. Maybe I should just watch it.
I wonder how enchanting it is, though. That's my question. Is I need to know. Is it just Mahjong?
Is fun. I mean, Mahjong games are fun.
Yeah, but is there like some mystical shit going on? Tune into Gamescast to find out. New dates for you. The Crew 2 will release June 29th for PC, Xbox One, and PS4.
Oh.
The game was originally slated to come out this month, but was delayed back in December.
Yep.
The Crew 2, infamously the game that Nick Scarpino thought was a third-person shooter, and when he went to take a appointment at E3, asked the gentleman, the developer, if he could invert his controls, and they're like, it's a driving game.
That'd be amazing. Oh, man. That's funny.
As rumored forever, and like it might be the biggest leak of all time, where there wasn't a single thing about this game that didn't leak in the last couple days. It was just like, they'd be like, oh, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. It's like, okay, the name leaked on a subway. It's like, oh, it's coming to all the platforms, like the main ones. Okay, cool. Oh, yeah, no, the trailer's going to come this day. Oh, the release date is this. Oh, hey, the trailer leaked before it was supposed to. It's like every single thing. Shadow of the Tomb Raider, release date confirmed, coming to multiple platforms at launch. This comes from GameSpot. After a number of rumors and leaks, Square Enix has finally confirmed that the next Lara Croft game will be Shadow of the Tomb Raider. The company will also announce the game's release date as September 14th. It'll come to PS4, Xbox One, and PC simultaneously, rather than being a timed exclusive to Xbox One like the previous game. Made by Eidos Montreal instead of the reboot creator, Crystal Dynamics, a full reveal will arrive on April 27th. What's that do for you?
We talked a little bit about this yesterday at the beginning of the morning show. Tomb Raider's reboot is something I have mixed feelings about.
Really?
The first one I had some issues with and also thought some things were really neat. The second one I liked better.
Okay.
I am cautiously optimistic about this one.
Yeah.
I had some... I don't want to get too into the weeds on this. I had some problems with the storytelling decisions around the first game that frustrated me. And I thought that they missed a huge opportunity that they
maybe they'll solve it in Tomb Raider, the movie, out this Friday.
From what I've heard of Tomb Raider, the movie, it doesn't sound like it, but I don't know. Greg liked it, right?
Did he?
Yeah. Greg liked it. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So, but Greg likes a lot.
I'm watching
Greg,
it tomorrow. Yeah,
Greg liked Justice League too. So yeah. That is, well said. I mean, there's a lot to be said there.
I'm excited for the new Tomb Raider, specifically because it is not being made by Crystal Dynamics. I'm interested in what they're going to do. I love the Crystal games, and I also love Square, the Eidos Montreal, who previously have made the Deus Ex games.
Yeah.
I feel like that's an interesting kind of partnership.
Hence my cautious optimism.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think mechanically we're going to see a very, very well done game.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that they've marketed these games heavily as story rebirths, and they've never really pulled me in with that. And that doesn't mean that they are, again, I probably sound more negative than I feel. This could be the best of the three.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I love it because I feel like these type of games just don't, there's not that many of them. There's Uncharted, there's Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Like these linear narrative, action-driven set piece, third-person games. You know, like we get a million first-person set piece action games, but the third-person genre doesn't get that much love.
No, it doesn't. No, I was talking about, Witcher 2, which is a fairly old game now, but followed that same kind of path, and I really generally enjoy that kind of game. That's why my one problem with that is that if you're going to pull me into a game like that, I want an Uncharted level of storytelling.
Yeah.
And maybe that's too demanding. Maybe I'm just being a jerk about that, but you don't want to miss those beats. Again, that's why I like the second game better. I thought that it delivered more on that.
Final new date of the day. Ark Survival Evolved is coming to mobile. This comes from Kotaku.
Oh, wait, didn't you miss something there?
I put that in the wrong place. I'll read it later.
Sorry about that. I interrupted.
Oh, actually, no, that is a new date. Whatever. Let's finish this. Famed mushroom trip and monster crapping simulator is coming to mobile phones. The pint-sized port should be the perfect outlet for anyone who can't wait to get home before satisfying their naked dinosaur hunting urges. The game has entered a closed beta period and slated to release sometime this spring. Players eager to give the game a try can sign up for mailing list updates and a chance to join the beta. I just think it's nuts that so many just modern console and PC games are coming to mobile.
Yeah.
And it's just standard now. Fortnite, PUBG, Ark Survival Evolved. Wow.
Why not?
Why not?
Well, yeah, and Ark's a good fit if it's done right. The controls will be the real issue. I wonder how they'll adapt that, as it always is. And that's what the controls will be the issue, and then the monetization model will be the other issue. I'm guessing skins for that. That actually makes a lot of sense. I like Ark on PC. And so I'm interested to see how it plays out on mobile. But it's a fun game. It's Rust with dinosaurs, and you can poop in your own hand. You know, that's pretty cool. Actually, I don't think you can poop in your hand anymore. Now you can just poop. I think the hand never happened. Never mind.
Damn.
You can just squat and poop when you wish.
Never forget.
Yeah.
The game that I skipped here, Super Bomberman R. Konami has finally made Super Bomberman R's multi-platform launch official. It'll be heading to Xbox One and PlayStation 4 on June 14th, with the Steam version due to arrive a day earlier on the 13th. In addition to the features and pre-order bonuses reported in the original story, the Xbox One, PS4, and Steam versions each include a format-exclusive Bomberman. PS4 gets a Ratchet & Clank-inspired Bomberman, Xbox One receives Master Chief, and there's a unique bomber themed around Portal 2's Peabody for Steam.
Okay, so that's why I wasn't letting you skip this.
Like, yeah.
And I don't think you were trying to.
I thought it was a reader mail.
But I was just like, we are not missing Bomberman. I love Bomberman so much. And it's one of those properties that's locked behind. So Konami's a pain anyway, being Konami. Mm-hmm. But then this is a Hudson game, a Hudson property that Konami acquired. So it's like another tier removed from us ever seeing anything good get the light of day. Bomberman is one of the most fundamentally delightful multiplayer local. And it's good online too, but local multiplayer games, it's instantly comprehensible, but you don't get tired of it. It's one of those games that keeps switching up very, very fast. Anybody can play. Anybody can at least feel good at it.
Yeah.
Or like they have a chance. And then you can master it and become very, very good at it. And so more opportunities to play Bomberman are good. If you didn't play our Bomberman R for Switch, it's pretty fun. It's a solid Bomberman. Did you like it?
I did. I didn't like the single player of it. It's kind of grating. To say the least, in terms of voice acting and like the shenanigans that happen.
Yeah, I'm not
but from a gameplay perspective, just going through, it's so much fun. Bomberman's so fantastic and great. And yes, for multiplayer, it's so good. We will do a party mode of it one day. We're waiting for when we have more than four people to get in.
Ours not the best Bomberman. Mm-hmm. I think the best,
I'd say the Saturn.
Saturn one. Bomberman. Yeah. Saturn Bomberman is you gotta both of those both of the multi taps though. You have two multi taps, you can have that 10-player Bomberman going.
Insanity.
On. Although really the sweet spot's 8. That's what you want.
And 8 is available in Bomberman R on Switch.
Yeah, but it's just it's good. It is good. Honestly, I think the Wii Bomberman is probably better than R. Yeah, the downloadable Wii Bomberman is actually probably a little better than R. But
now I'm just gonna throw this out there: Bomberman for Switch. He's another character that I feel would be great in the game. Would make a lot of sense.
It's Smash Brothers.
By a Japanese developer.
Oh, Bomberman would be unreal. Yeah. Oh, he's perfect.
And he's another one of those iconic.
He's very iconic characters, especially in Japan. Yeah, I think they'd worry about how he'd fly over here.
They don't give a fuck about that. We got Marth and Roy.
Yeah, Bomberman would be great. Well, I have a lot. I played Bomberman arcades in Japan. And yeah, it's great. When Bomberman would die, the screen would pop and he'd just go, "Oh my God." When he'd die, it'd make a funny little Bomberman voice. And but I like his
Went overboard, Gnar.
Bomberman has a weird connection to Lode Runner over there. There's a whole big thing. I love it. Yeah, a big. Some of my very favorite, one of my most prized possessions is my LED or LCD Bomberman keychain game. I just love it.
That sounds fantastic. We are approaching 1 p.m., ladies and gentlemen. So let's prepare to get hyped. I want to see what's going on over here. I mean, I don't know the best way to even find this information. I'm sure people will tell me. I'm going to read a little bit of reader mail and then we'll check back on this. Reader mail. First question comes from Zach W. Carpenter. Says, "Greetings, KFGD crew. Is it just me or are people sleeping on a way out?"
Ah, okay.
So, out the egg. Oh, yeah. You can't say too much.
Time for Tim. Mm-hmm. I hope you enjoy having your discussion about this.
I will. And what I want to say is I wanted to stop there and him saying, my boy Zach over here saying, "Is it just me or are people sleeping on a way out?" My gut reaction was, no, people aren't sleeping on a way out. It's just when it comes out, people will be talking about it. And then that'll be the moment. And I was like, when is it coming out? And then I kept reading. "It comes out in a week and I haven't really heard anyone talking about it. Holy shit, people are sleeping on a way out. I am shocked that as there's so little being talked about this game right now. It looked so awesome. It was one of our games of the show at E3 last year. So I did a little investigation. Turns out people are starting to talk about it. GameSpot did a fun little Let's Play with some of the creators. And there's a couple tidbits that I want to share with you guys that they found. Developer Hazel Light started with just 10 people on the project before ramping up to around 40 later in development. Only 12 people worked on Brothers. Fares wrote the script himself. Fares, of course, the infamous speech from the Game Awards where he said, fuck the Oscars. Fares wrote the script himself, though he worked with a script doctor as well. Fares says EA has been very supportive and hands off. If EA, oh my God, Jared just walked into a light. Are you okay? Oh, that looked bad.
We get up a hat or something.
Is it bad?
No, I meant for the future.
The lights are very sharp. Sorry. Fares says EA has been very supportive and hands off. If EA wants to make an apple greener, I can say no. 100% of the income from A Way Out will go to developer Hazelight. EA makes nothing, Fares said. EA helps with marketing and support, but apparently gets nothing from sales. He acknowledged that EA has its fair share of issues, as all publishers do. They shouldn't take a pee like everybody else, he said. Fares is incredibly passionate about A Way Out, and particularly its co-op multiplayer, saying that he would turn down $10 million to make a strictly single-player game. Fares would never make a game with microtransactions. There are no plans for Nintendo Switch Edition, at least not yet. And the most important thing, it'll take you 6 to 8 hours to finish A Way Out. I'm very excited about it. I'm trying to figure out who I want to play the game with, and I think the answer is Kevin Coelho. Yeah. So we got to figure out how we're doing that. So to answer your question, Zach, I am excited. I'm very excited. I hope more people are talking about it. I hope that information gets more people talking about it. Are you okay, Jared?
With
the head thing?
I'm reasonably sure I'm still here.
Okay, okay.
Were we talking about something?
No. That looked very violent.
I'm sorry about that. I went off to grab my phone because I realized there was a very important public service announcement to make later in the show. And I was like, oh my gosh, I almost forgot something very important.
Gotcha.
But that seemed a good time to walk away. So now I'm back.
Let's see.
Sorry to leave you there kind of talking on your own. But yes, no concussion that I'm aware of. Did my head get scratched?
Not that I can see.
No, that's good. I've hit that light like 7 times in the last week. So
far, I'm not seeing anything about the dragon being unleashed.
Nope, nothing yet.
Nothing yet.
Nothing about the dragon.
So I'm going to keep on reading.
All right.
Top Five Banana says, speculation. Any chance Blue Point's next game is remaking Resident Evil 2?
I mean, they announced the RE2 remake in 2015, and we haven't heard much about it since. Blue Point could be who's working on it. It could be any number of studios. I don't have a clue. I have no special knowledge on this. We know Blue Point's working on some kind of remake next. I'd be surprised if Blue Point was working on Shadow and RE2 at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's unlikely, but maybe the project was in pre-production that whole time. We've already passed the 20th anniversary of Resident Evil, but we haven't passed the 20th anniversary of Resident Evil 2.
Mm-hmm.
So Blue Point, maybe, but I actually kind of doubt it. Your thoughts?
I think this is very interesting. I hadn't thought about it. You know, me and Michael Huber talked about Resident Evil 2 a lot on the episode of Gamescast we did, the remake. And we talked about Blue Point as well. And with the recent news of Blue Point announcing it is working on another remaster in the style of Shadow of the Colossus, mm-hmm. there's been a lot of discussion of what it might be, whether mm-hmm. it's Siphon Filter, Metal Gear Solid, or Demon's Souls.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never... Top Five Bananas, you're the first person to bring up Resident Evil 2, and I don't think it's impossible. I think that there's definitely a chance that that is the case.
That could be it. It just seems like... I don't know what their dev resources are, so I don't know if they have a broad enough team to work on two games at once. I can't imagine that they'd just now be starting to work on RE2 if they're going to want to get it out anytime with it before, you know, 2020.
Yeah.
But maybe... I'd love if they worked on it. They do good work.
Yeah, they do. I think that'd be a very interesting, very cool call. Eric with a K writes in and says, with Florence on Android now, I want to check it out. But how long is it? I really liked Normal Lost Phone because I was able to finish it in an hour or two. Is Florence like a Normal Lost Phone? How is it different? And is it longer or shorter?
You can finish Florence in like an hour.
Florence is like a 25-minute game.
Oh, really? You think that short?
It definitely is.
Oh, okay.
I finished it in 25 minutes.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, in one all sitting. Right. I'm just...
I played it slower. I kind of took it kind of slow.
It's very different than a Normal Lost Phone. A Normal Lost Phone is a bit more puzzle-based, and it's a bit more trying to, you know, figure out, like, oh, wait, what am I supposed to be doing here? Florence is much more just an interactive experience where it's always clear what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
It's more just like a really cool way to interact with a story.
But not in a lame way, in a great way. Like, everything you're doing fits. Mm-hmm. You're like, wait. They find ways to use game mechanics, even very simple game mechanics, to express the mood of what's happening or to help you understand. You'll see something happening on screen, and then you'll take part in the activity, and the activity will show you even more deeply what's really going on. I don't want to spoil anything with that, but that happens a couple of times in Florence. The little mini games aren't just there to move you to the next screen.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to help convey the story. It's really cool.
And then another question about Florence. Billy the Door says, after hearing Jared's salty rant on one-time payment mobile games, I wanted to write in thanking him for recommending Arachnoid versus Space Invaders.
Oh, Arkanoid.
I cannot stop playing. As a new Android boy, I'm pumped for Florence on Android, and I'm also itching to get back into threes. Thanks, Jared. Your salt is saving the world.
Oh, I'm glad you like my salt. I appreciate that. The salt thing was funny. People said I was too positive all the time, so I'm trying to be salty every now and then at the end of Games Daily.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks. I'm glad you liked Arkanoid versus Space Invaders. I think it's a great game. And yeah, I'll rant about that all day long. Go out there and buy them. You can see the sales figures on the Google Play Store. And let me tell you what, they ain't good for most pay once and play games. And if you want people to make these, you got to pay for them. Because I could, you know, at this point, Taito sure had made their money back on that.
Mm-hmm. We're getting some updates, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, what we got?
Tell you, they're not looking good.
Oh, really?
Nibble. Nibellian over on Twitter says, for the record, I still believe the Spyro thing is real considering how much smoke there is, but it seems like Badass, who is the Reddit user that originated the time and date today, seems like he received some outdated info. This shit happens. So right now, as far as we know, the timing was off and things were wrong. There have been many rumors pointing to a Spyro HD collection being announced in March. So we still do have a couple weeks left.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But
Tim, did he say...
The dragon has not been unleashed yet.
Is he saying that when there's smoke, there's Spyro?
Where there's smoke, there's Spyro.
There
fucking
go.
Hashtag it, ladies
there
and gentlemen.
Go. There we go.
I love that.
What's we got here?
Kyle S. says, long time listener since the beginning of IGN Beyond, first time writing in. With the launch of Sea of Thieves around the corner, is anyone at Kinda Funny super hyped for the game? I personally have been playing the game since early alpha, and I feel this game will be a game changer. The stories you can tell after playing this game will rival any water cooler moments I've had. The world is beautiful, the idea is fresh, nothing really feels wrong about the game. There's also so many secret, awesome things that Rare has yet to reveal about it. Is there any chance you guys could discuss the potential success of the game, or is this exclusive Xbox Windows title too exclusive to try for Kinda Funny? I'd love your input. Thanks so much. You guys inspired me to be creative in the digital media world I work in. Cheers. Love from Canada.
You put pirates in a video game, I'll play it. So yeah, I'm totally going out there and playing this. However, I did not get into the early release stuff because at that point in my life, there was a lot going on and there was just no time. Now,
so yesterday on the Patreon exclusive episode of Kinda Funny Gamescast, where we continued your gaming history, we talked a lot about Rare, and you were saying that you have a love-hate relationship, and it's very extreme. We either hate Rare games or really, really love them.
Yeah, it varies by game.
And going just from what you know about this game, where do you think it's going to fall on?
Probably going to love it.
Yeah.
Well, again, I'm a sucker. My all-time favorite game is Sid Meier's Pirates. My all-time favorite version of that game is Rare's port of Sid Meier's Pirates. But other games with pirates in them, I am really into. I mean, Assassin's Creed 4. I mean, really, do we need other Assassin's Creed games when you get to be a pirate? You know, there's so much to love about that. And I do think that piracy are in a lot of bad video games, but piracy is just, it's so... So video games have trouble, what, rendering giant? It's difficult to render giant environments with lots of details. And they tend to focus around localized nodes and little things to do and roving enemies. What is piracy? You're in one place on a ship in a big, vast ocean that's easy to render, surrounded by other ships and islands, each of which are encounters. It is the archetypical video game design acted out in the real world, and it doesn't feel forced. It's a natural fit for video games. So
there you go. There's some hype at Kinda Funny, ladies and gentlemen. Diego Barragon says, what's up, Kinda Funny crew? Here's my dilemma. I'm considering getting an Xbox One S. I currently have a Switch, PS4, and a gaming PC for my Excel spreadsheets. My rationale is that Xbox lately has been doing really good stuff with Game Pass and backwards compatibility. I have a 4K TV, and the 4K Blu-ray on the One S is really appealing. I have the financial means to get the One S, but I want your opinion. Based on my situation, do you think it's worth it? My answer is yes. Mm-hmm. The caveat being, I think you should save up a little bit more and get the One X.
Yeah, really?
He's saying he has the financial means. If you're going to get into the Xbox ecosystem, I don't think there is many rational arguments to get the S over the X if you're of the means to
if
do
you're
going to so.
Spend more to do it. I'm unlikely ever going to buy an X.
If the reason that he is trying to do this is the 4K TV and wants the 4K Blu-ray, yeah. It's like, go in and do it right and like get that real experience seeing these games, especially when you're talking about the Xbox, the enhanced stuff and the backwards compatibility and Games Pass and all this. It's like, if you're going to go into an ecosystem, go in, do it right, swim in that motherfucker.
It depends on if you really care about the visuals. Yeah, for me, my Xbox One is largely a backward compatibility machine. He brings that up, and I have a lot of 360 games on my Xbox One. I love that feature because I'm a weirdo. A lot of people don't utilize it to a huge extreme. I use it a lot because there were so many great games, particularly on XBLA, that I like to go back to on there. There's still a way for me to play Radiant Silvergun on a current gen console, as long as that's out there. But you know, there was that Bodacious Blood Rain game. There's so many good games from that period of time that are backwards compatible because they've really committed to that, and I love that about it. I play most of my games on a 720p TV. So, you know, buying buying an Xbox One X makes no sense for me.
No, it doesn't.
But if he's got the TV already, I guess it's just an awful lot of money to spend for
it is
a marginally prettier experience.
It's not marginally prettier. It's way prettier. It's significantly prettier. And that's my thing is like, if you looking at Diego's situation here, he's saying that he has the means, he has the Switch, he has a PS4, he has a gaming PC. Like, he's invested in this world. He has a 4K TV. He cares about this type of stuff. He's looking into investing in 4K Blu-ray. Like, if you're that type of person, get the X. It's going to be worth it in the long run, and I think that you're going to regret not getting it. Granted, there is a big price jump between the S and the X.
It's a huge price jump. I mean, that's like with three games, you could be buying like two, three games.
Microsoft saying it. There's been a lot of deals though where it comes with a lot of the games that you're going to want. And with Game Pass, it's like you're making an investment up front, but you're taking a bet on Microsoft and its first party games and what third parties they bring into Game Pass.
Yeah.
But with all the games that are already out on X or on the Xbox from the last couple of years, there's a bunch of things that you've missed.
Oh, Xbox is a fine platform, and I think we're splitting hairs here. There's good reasons to buy each one. It ultimately comes down to whether or not you want the enhanced visuals and you think they're worth the extra money. That's mm-hmm. all. And yeah, I mean, you make a good argument, Tim. I'm not going to be like, well, you're wrong there. I mean, look, I am obviously the outlier on this.
I don't think so. I don't think you are at all. I think there's a lot of people that are like, oh, it's totally unnecessary.
And well, it's
it is
really expensive. It is.
Totally.
It's a lot of money.
But I do think Games Pass is a game changer. And I think that with the Microsoft announcing all of its E3 plans, I think that there's definitely a vision that they're having, and they're raising excitement in a way that, of course, all developers and publishers are going to do around their E3 presence. I think Microsoft thinks and believes it has something very special.
Are you ready to hear Xbox One and Windows 10 exclusive
world premiere
over and over again?
Why not? Why not make it even more confusing? It's time to squad up.
Squad up.
Joshua on the PlayStation 4 says, I need some help taking on monsters in Monster Hunter. Duh. Go help Joshua, man. He seems like a cool guy that just needs some help hunting them monsters. His PSN username is Self Against City. Self Against City. SELFAGAINSTCITY. PSN. Help out Joshua. And now it's time for one of them rotating segments. Jared, you have some salt that you need to
very quickly
address.
People have asked for salt, so 60 seconds of salt. You're getting less today. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Salt today is actually about salt. That's right. This is a salt segment about actual physical salt and the importance of eating iodized salt. I love sea salt as much as you do. That taste is really good. However, a lot of Americans suffer from iodine deficiency, which can lead to thyroid problems. Some sea salt is treated with iodine, but not all. So when you buy your salt, look for that iodized salt, because it can actually help your health. No, you shouldn't have too much salt, but when everything was table salt, generally speaking, a lot of that was already iodized. As we move towards sea salt, we've moved away from iodized salt, and because of that, Americans aren't getting enough iodine, and you need it to be healthy. So when you buy your sea salt or your regular salt, make sure it's iodized salt.
Stay salty, ladies and gentlemen. Stay salty.
Before we go off.
Yes.
Before we go off,
mm-hmm.
I have a public service announcement that I forgot about. Okay. I should have put in the script.
Service it away?
I would have done this next week. I was saving this for next week, but then I realized next week I'm not going to be here because we have guests.
Oh, because of GDC.
That's right. So, very important for those of you out there that actually care about this. March 26, 2018, the last day, March 26, 2018, just over a week away, the last day you can purchase new Wii points on the original Wii Shop channel. You'll be able to download Virtual Console titles for another year. But it's the last day you can put points on there and get new credit. So if you haven't bought anything on your ancient Wii or on that port over that you've done to your Wii U, and you want some of those games that are very unlikely to reappear, say some of that licensed stuff mm-hmm. that's probably not going to make it to the next Virtual Console version, if there's this one game out there that you just have to have, this is your last chance to go put those points on your old Wii or on your Wii U in emulation mode and transfer it. I realize there are approximately 6 people in the United States who care about this.
They're probably listening to this show.
Exactly. I'm one of them, and I figure the other 5 of you are out there somewhere. It's your last chance, folks. Don't miss it. Get on there and get them.
Get on it. Get hype. Now it's time for Kind of Funny Games Daily, You're Wrong, where you can go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and let us know what we got wrong during the show. Capitalist Pig says, regarding the Onimusha fighting game, Onimusha Blade Warriors was the name of 2D fighting game. It took place just after 2, but well before 3, so no playable Jean Reno. That was sad. Catalyst Pig again says, regarding the Towerfall Samurai Gun release, Towerfall came out first on June 25th, 2013, with Samurai Gun soon after on December 11th, 2013.
Here we go. Back that Ouya. Kickstarter.
Seafron says, not a you're wrong, sorry, but can Tim pimp his friend's music one more time? I missed the name and link at the start of the show. You can go to marcusd.net, marcusd.net. And there you go, Retro 2. And it'll be in the description of this video.
So happy about this.
Yeah,
what else we got there?
Let's see what we got here. No, we're looking pretty good.
All right. Well, hey, wow.
Oh, Vin Zombie says, according to Steam, Zeus Crest Remastered is a silly point-and-click adventure game with lighthearted humor. It combines Greek mythology with sci-fi in a twisted way. It's developed and published by Crazy Soft Limited, somewhat similar to Four Last Things.
I should probably play that. I like point-and-click games.
Luker Wolf says, and out today, a mission official PUBG on Android and English in Canada. It's based on the Chinese version, is officially licensed from PUBG Corp. No US or IS news at this time.
Okay.
Mr. Whiskers says, not necessarily a you're wrong, but a small tidbit on enchanting Mahjong match on Switch. It's packed with anime girls based on the screenshots and footage I've seen online and on the eShop. Not a problem for me at all personally, but I figured I'd let you guys know about that beforehand for the review. Have fun, Jared. Would love to hear your thoughts on the game overall.
You know what? You got to love a good... I used to hang out in this Yakuza bar in... Well, it was actually a coffee shop in Japan, and sometimes the guys would come in there and like smoke cigarettes and play Mahjong late at night. It was interesting to watch. They left you alone. Like, they were just hanging out, but they didn't care. Hanging there playing Mahjong in the middle. Little electronic Mahjong tables in there.
And then the final, you're wrong, and they comes from Capitalist Pig. Regarding Resident Evil 2 not being 20 years old, Resident Evil 2 released on January 21st, 1998, and just turned 20 years old. So this is the 20th year anniversary.
There we go.
E3, all right. Baby.
Yeah, this year's 20th anniversary. So RE2 is this fall? RE was January, right?
No, RE2.
RE2 this fall? Okay.
Mm. Oh, no, RE2 was January.
Oh, it was January. Oh, I'm miscounting. Okay. Wow. Sorry about that.
Tomorrow's host, me and Andrea Renee. It's going to be a good show.
Of course it is.
Until then, I love you. It's been a pleasure to serve you.